Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. It's time to go RT and join Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's at the threshold of a door Pope Benedict XVI crossed this past Ash Wednesday. It's that of a 5th century basilica by the name of Santa Sabina, nestling amid orange groves on the Aventine Hill. It takes its name from a martyr, Sabina, and it's also a place where St. Dominic once prayed. And the door I was mentioning? Well, Breda tells us more about it.
About 5 metres by 3, and it's in cypress wood.
And cypress wood is long resisting, so it lives up to its name. It also lives up to the symbol of the cypress tree, which is considered the tree which never dies. I mean, if you cut it down, nothing will ever grow again, so it's a definitive sense of eternity.
These doors have about 4 panels, but there's a lot going on within these 4 panels.
Yes, there are scenes from the Old and the New Testament. Now, the bottom section, the relief sculptures are missing because obviously are destroyed and they were taken off.
Not by the barbarians, though.
No, I don't think so. I think probably just people putting their hands on the doors, the wear and tear of centuries. Now, each section on the door has its own elegant frame, which is clusters of grapes and vine leaves going up and in twirly movements. It also has one of the oldest crucifixion scenes in Christendom, in a wooden relief of this type. You have to look at it very, very closely because from a distance you don't see the marks of the cross or the wounds of Christ. But the figure of Christ himself is bigger than the two thieves each side of him. So this is very much in keeping with early Christian art, where the Christ figure sometimes was shown as a big figure and everybody else as a small figure, just to show people that this was a representation of Christ.
The door itself has a beautiful, beautiful frame to it in marble, no?
Yes, it's very much like the kind of frieze around a doorway that you would find in Pompeii or places like that. But what's interesting here is it marries itself very well with the wooden designs. You never get the sense that there is no harmony. This is the one thing that strikes you about Paleo-Christian art, early Christian art, because what was created in terms of a space for religious worship was very much in line with what people at that time felt. So the architecture or the art or whatever is a reflection of the essential internal needs of the Christian in the period in which something is built. Just imagine that this church had its windows closed except for 6 of them during the Reformation. So everything was dark, dark, dark. Then fortunately in the 1920s, somebody decided to open these windows, restore the church, bring it back to its early Christian pristine condition. So to think that somebody would actually close all these windows to put you deliberately in the dark just shows a different sense of living the religion in a certain moment. Here where these doors are, let's say, a little spiritual treasure in the middle of the atrium, because when people come in here into the atrium, which is a type of porch, covered porch in front of the basilica, you stand in an area that's supposed to give you a sense of detachment from the outside world so that you get ready to open the door and walk in. It's this intermediary space between the outer world and the sacred ceremony and the Eucharist inside. So the early artisans or artists, architects, whatever, they always managed to give Christians this lovely sense of preparation. It's a church which has a lot of spiritual history. This is the home of the Dominicans. And they have their cloister.
The orange tree.
With the orange tree planted by St. Dominic.
It's strange how they put this little peephole just opposite the door. Yeah. You can enjoy a lovely leafy view there. But getting back to the church, St. Dominic obviously prayed in this church at length, no?
You think of St. Dominic spending the entire night here, flat on his face, in front of the altar, praying because he felt he was a terrible sinner. This church has collected over the centuries prayer. All the prayer of the centuries going back to the 5th century. That's a lot of prayer.
Heartfelt thanks there to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's currently teaching at the American University of Rome. Well, thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.